Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come into Thy presence again in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful for this opportunity to gather before Thy throne of grace and to meditate upon Thy Word. Father, we'd ask that Thy Word might indeed become the living Word of God to each heart and to each life tuned in. We'd ask that that which is done and said might be geared to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, that that which is of the flesh might pass away, but that that which is from Thy Spirit might be sealed to our hearts, that our time and our talent might be wholly Thine. And Lord, we'd remember that heart or that life that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ. We'd ask that You would use the hour together, that Thy Spirit might seal these words to their hearts, that they might be wooed and won by Thy precious Holy Spirit to place their trust in Thee. For we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now if you'd turn with me to 2 Peter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. This is now, beloved, the second epistle that I write unto you, and in both of them I stir up your sincere mind by putting you in remembrance, that ye should remember the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Knowing this first, that in the last days mockers shall come with mockery, walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For from the day that the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willfully forget, that there were heavens from of old, and an earth compacted out of water and amidst water by the word of God, by which means the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens that now are, and the earth by the same word, have been stored up for fire, being reserved against the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But forget not this one thing, beloved, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to youward, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat. And the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing that these things are thus all to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy living and godliness, looking for and earnestly desiring the coming of the day of God, by reason of which the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. But according to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. We have been discussing together some of the introductory material necessary for a consistent study of Bible prophecy. We have looked at the momentous days in which we live and the urgency of the hour in which we find ourselves. We see on every hand nations that are without hope, that are in a situation that is bigger and stronger than man. We've examined the Lord Jesus Christ. We have discussed him together, who he is and what he did. We've seen that Jesus is in fact Jehovah, that he is the one who with his father spoke the worlds into existence and who molded man out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and who, sweeping the dust from his father's workshop, placed the stars in their orbits. He is the one who was before all things, and through him all things are held together. We've also seen that the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is a God-given seal of his divine authority. We've examined the fact that by study And by a careful, diligent examination of the evidence, we can indeed say with conviction, Christ is risen. And we've pointed out that if indeed Christ did rise from the dead, he is God. And if he is God, what he has said is true. We've seen that the Scriptures declare that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And then we discussed together with you for 2 or 3 days seven things you ought to know before you begin a study of Bible prophecy. We pointed out that these things are important, that you might understand as we go through that which God has revealed by His Holy Spirit, His plan for the ages. We pointed out that you must know that the Bible is God's Word, that Bible prophecy has not been given that you might become a prophet, that God uses the same language of the king as he uses of the kingdom, that a prophetic year is 360 days long, that Bible prophecy has more than one fulfillment, that God's prophetic calendar concerning the Jew only runs while the Jews control Jerusalem and can offer sacrifices to Jehovah in the city that he has chosen, and that there are two advents of the Lord Jesus Christ, coming the first time as a suffering Redeemer, the second time as a reigning King. And now we'd like to take today and discuss with you in general terms a broad outline of the subject of Bible prophecy. Actually, as we study the subject in more detail, we will go through the books of Daniel and Revelation verse by verse, and using these books as our springboard to examine this subject of Bible prophecy. But to look today together just at God's broad general plan of His dealings with mankind and His plans for human history. It's a thrill for the believer in Christ to realize that God is not limited by time. God is timeless. Eternity is not year upon year, piled upon year after year, but eternity is timelessness. And do we look forward to that day when we shall be changed in a moment in a twinkling of an eye, and we shall see him as he is, for we shall be like him. And we'll spend all eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ in unbroken fellowship with him. Tears shall be wiped away, sorrow and anguish shall be no more, but we will rule and reign with Christ forever. And now looking at that which God has revealed in his word, as far as his plans for the human race are concerned, we find that the blessed hope of the believer, often called the rapture in theological circles, is distinct and apart from God's prophetic picture. Oftentimes we are asked the question, what prophecies need yet to be fulfilled before the rapture of the church? And the answer is a resounding none. There never have been any prophecies that had to be fulfilled before Jesus Christ could rapture his church. We find that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to gather together his own from the four winds of heaven is distinct and separate, apart from God's prophetic plan for the nations, for the Gentile, and for the Jew. The rapture of the church is a mystery. It is a secret that belongs to the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. By the confident assurance of his word and the testimony of his spirit with our spirits, we know that we are the children of God, and we look forward to that day when the trump of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And with this blessed hope we comfort one another. We realize that in this veil of tears there is sorrow and anguish and parting. But with the Lord Jesus Christ these things are gone forever. And it's a wonderful comfort to meditate upon the promises of his word that not very far hence we shall be with him. The rapture of the church, that is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for his own, could take place at any moment in time. It is not modified by any Bible prophecy. He may come tonight. He may come tomorrow. He may come next week. but he can come any time. Separate and apart from the rapture of the church as we examine God's plan of the ages, we find that back in the book of Daniel, he set forth a period of time in which he calls 70 weeks, 70 weeks of years to accomplish five things as far as the Jewish race is concerned, and to initiate the kingdom of God with Christ ruling and reigning at Jerusalem. 69 of these 70 weeks have passed. And so the prophetic calendar of God will begin to tick at the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel. As this study develops, we will find that the major emphasis of Scripture places the rapture of the church before the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel. Actually, there are many believers with different persuasions. 25, 50 years ago, all of Christendom was divided into three major camps. These camps were called the premillennialist, the postmillennialist, and the amillennialist. After a concentrated Bible study, particularly in the prophetic scriptures over the last generation, most of the evangelical Bible-believing Christians now align themselves in the premillennial camp, but since they also must have things to discuss and argue about, they have divided this camp into three other camps. Those who believe that the rapture will take place before the 70th week of Daniel, those who believe the rapture will take place after the 70th week of Daniel, and those who believe the rapture will take place at about the middle of the 70th week of Daniel. We believe that the major portion of biblical evidence, and we will be pointing out to you day after day, that the study of God's Word in the last analysis is a careful examination of the evidence He has given by the inspiration of the Spirit, that we might take this evidence, that we might sift it and study it, and see that which God has revealed in His Word. And we believe the major evidence points to the rapture of the church occurring before the 70th week of Daniel. Be that as it may, the rapture is separate and distinct from God's prophetic calendar. The rapture is that event when the Lord Jesus Christ shall gather unto Himself those who believe in Christ Jesus as their own personal Savior. And God's prophetic calendar begins to tick with the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel. We believe that we can demonstrate from the Scriptures that the 70th week of Daniel cannot begin at least until the Jews control the old city of Jerusalem and the ancient temple site. The 70th week of Daniel will be a period of 7 years, 360 days to the year, 2,520 days. The first portion of this 70th week of Daniel will be, in essence, a period of peace and prosperity. Many have asked the question, how can it be that the world and the nations of the world will align themselves under one world dictator, with democracy the way it is, with a love of freedom so completely instilled in the hearts of multiplied millions of people? How could it ever be that a man could take up the reins of government and become a world dictator? But now we've seen God work in a mighty way, and you and I live in an age when the thought of war is so preposterous and so monstrous, and the destruction we're able to wreak upon an enemy is almost beyond belief. It's a popular fallacy today that war is impossible. War has never been impossible, and war is more probable today than it has ever been in human history. And yet the thoughts of a war that would employ the weapons we have at our disposal stagger the imagination. And if a man were to arise and claim to have the solution to this world's problems, to present a plan that might in some sense be acceptable to the nations of this earth, and ask that they try it for a period of time, the United States would try. Russia would try. Russia does not want war any more than we want war, though Russia wants to control the world. And if someone were to arise and say, here's the solution, here's a plan that will work, give me a chance, let me try it, follow me for a period of time, let me make a treaty with you, give me, for example, 7 years to put this plan into effect, and let me show you that I can control the world and that I can promise peace and prosperity. We'd try. We'd try it before we'd go to war. Russia would try it. The other nations of the world would try it. We wait for the man, or for the committee, or for the United Nations, if you will, for some organization, for some man, for some plan that might promise world peace. And ministers and politicians, political leaders all over the world are preaching a desperate effort to try for peace because war is unthinkable. And the scriptures declare that the day will come when a man arises, a man who promises peace, and the nations of this earth will yield their power to him. They'll sign a treaty with him and they'll let him try. The scriptures point out that the first 3.5 years, the first 42 months, the first 1,260 days of this 70th week of Daniel are, in the main, a period of peace and of prosperity. And when men and women are saying peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall in no wise escape. And we read in Matthew 24, in Daniel 9, in the book of Revelation, that in the midst of this week, this last world ruler will break his treaty with the nations. He'll break his treaty with the Jews. He'll set up the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. This is nothing more than an image or an idol or a false god that he sets up in Jerusalem and commands the world to worship. This triggers the greatest period of tribulation and anguish the world has ever known, and in particular the Jew has ever known. During your lifetime, Hitler and Eichmann and the Germans ruthlessly put to death over 6 million innocent men, women, and children of the Jewish race. And yet the scriptures declare that during the last half of the 70th week of Daniel, 2 out of 3 of the Jews will die. It's a period of time called the time of Jacob's trouble. It's a period that God says is a time of tribulation and anguish and pain such as the world has never known before or will ever know again. This is the last half of the 70th week of Daniel. The closing scenes of the 70th week of Daniel are what are often called the Battle of Armageddon, and I would prefer to style the War of Armageddon. Here we see this last great world ruler bringing his nation, his armies down into the nation of Palestine, the land of Israel. There he resists such nations as Egypt and other allying countries. He is resisted or opposed by Russia and her cohorts. And Russia comes down into the land of Palestine, there to oppose this last great world ruler. And then takes place one of the greatest battles the world will ever know. It's called the Battle of Armageddon. It's a battle between the host and the hordes of the King of the North, who is Russia, and the beast, or the last great world ruler, and all of his allies. We are told, just a slight indication, that the number of his army would be 200 million men. The number of the armies of Russia are not told, but they also could be 200 million. We are told that about 5 out of 6 die in this conflict, and it's during this great battle that the Lord Jesus Christ himself descends from heaven, and the armies which are in heaven follow him. And we who have been caught up together with those who are asleep in Christ at the rapture will return at that time with the Lord Jesus Christ. The scriptures declare when he returns, he'll stand on the Mount of Olives, and that he will at that time fight for his people as he fought for them in days of old. And he'll put to rout the armies of the beast and the armies of Russia and her allies. And it's at that time that 5 out of 6 will perish in the land of Palestine. The Jews will be 7 months burying the dead and 7 years burning the weapons and cleansing the land. This is the great war of Armageddon, climaxed by the return of Jesus Christ to establish his earthly kingdom. And men and women have laughed through the years and say, you believe that Jesus is going to come back and be king over all the earth? And I can but smile and say, yes, what do you believe? Do you believe man is going to solve his problems? Do you actually, are you so foolish as to believe that things are getting better? That there is less hate, less racial prejudice, fewer problems, less unemployment, less starvation. Oh, my friend, you live in a period of time when there is more known about education than ever in human history, but more people illiterate. When there is more known about raising food than at any time in human history, and more people starving to death. When there is more known about peace than ever before in human history, and a greater threat of war than the world has ever known. No, we look forward to the day when Jesus Christ shall return, when he'll set up his throne at Jerusalem, and that he will rule this earth in righteousness and in peace. And when he returns and fights for his people, he will be victorious. He sets up his earthly kingdom at Jerusalem. He establishes his throne there. Those of you who know the Lord Jesus Christ and have been gathered together with him before the 70th week of Daniel will rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. The scriptures declare that as the Jews are purifying the land and burning the weapons and burying the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ judges the nations. They're judged on the basis of their treatment of the brethren of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are deemed worthy are invited to come into the kingdom prepared for them from the foundation of the world. Those who are found unworthy, Christ says of them, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." The day will come, my friend, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, that you will stand before his throne and be judged according to the deeds done in the body. Oh, I implore you, if you do not know Christ as your own personal Savior, stand in fear and trembling of that day when you will present yourself before him. But he offers free to any who ask, redemption, forgiveness of sin. And though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as wool. And then he establishes his kingdom. This is to last for 1,000 years. During this 1,000 years, the lion lies down with the lamb. The lion eats straw like the ox. The child will step on a scorpion and not be hurt. The child will die being 100 years old. During this period of time, the land will be rid of the curse. The crops will come when they ought to come, and they will come as they ought to come. The rains will come when they should come, and they'll not come when they should not come. Life will be prolonged. Jesus Christ will reign in righteousness at Jerusalem. Taxes will be where they ought to be. There will be no more war, no unemployment. There will not be the strife and the racial prejudice that we know today. It'll be the greatest period of time in human history. And yet the word declares that after 1,000 years of peace, after 1,000 years of a ruling king who is righteous and pure, after 1,000 years of a government that is not corrupt by the sin of men, after 1,000 years of peace, of a complete lack of unemployment, of the greatest period of time the world has ever known, during that time, Satan will be chained so that he does not excite or tempt to evil. Yet men will still sin because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And yet the scriptures declare that at the end of that 1,000 years during which time Satan is chained, he will be loosed for a moment of time and will be able, unbelievably, but the scriptures declare he will be able to gather to himself a great horde of people from around the entire earth, men and women whose desire is to unseat the government of Jesus Christ. Why? Taxes have been where they ought to be. Unemployment has been a thing of the past. There hasn't been any war. Why unseat Jesus Christ? Because men and women do not want Christ. The scriptures then declare that God destroys them in a moment of time. And he sets up the great white throne judgment. The heavens and the earth that now are melt with fervent heat, as we've read in Peter. They flee away, and there's no place found for them. And the dead, small and great, rich and poor, bond and free, stand before the great white throne judgment to give an account of their works. And those that are not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life are cast into the lake of fire where is wailing and gnashing of teeth. Where do you stand in God's prophetic calendar? Isn't it amazing that the men and women of this earth would want to unseat the most righteous monarch the world has ever seen? The only one who has ruled without sin, without prejudice, without bias, with complete, full understanding of every situation. Why? Because man's heart is sinful. Because men and women do not want Jesus Christ. The world today is not primarily atheistic. The world today is not primarily anti-God. But the world today is anti-Christ. People believe in a God. They believe in a first cause. When they read the first verse of the Bible, in the beginning God, if you took God out of there and substituted anything else, you'd have insurmountable problems. You couldn't read in the beginning nature, in the beginning nothing. You have to read in the beginning God. And all of His creation shows intelligence and design. And the more we study and the more we know, the more we see of His intelligence and of His design. But men and women today do not want Jesus Christ. They're forced to believe in a God. But to believe in Jesus Christ means to believe that we're sinners. That indeed the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and there is none righteous, no, not one. And the very blackness of the sin of man is portrayed vividly in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And as we see Him hanging there on Calvary's cross, we see the only perfect one who was without sin and without cause, arrested and condemned and put to death at the hands of cruel men. Because His life, His death, and His resurrection are mute testimony to the sinfulness of man and his total inability to remedy his lost condition. If you are outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, you fit into God's prophetic plan of the ages. You look forward to the 70th week of Daniel. Though there is a short period of peace, it will be climaxed by the most awful period of persecution and suffering and anguish the world has ever known. And after that, the great white throne judgment. Dearest friend, will you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and be judged according to your works? Praise God, the Scriptures declare that, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You are not saved by works. You could not buy salvation. You are not so good that God had to save you. You have not lived such a wonderful life that if anyone goes to heaven, you go to heaven. Salvation is the gift of God. Accept that gift which is freely offered through Jesus Christ, or face the day when you will stand before Him in judgment and give account of your works. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise Thee that You have deemed it wise to reveal Thy plan of human history. And we are sobered as we meditate upon that which You have revealed concerning the sinfulness of man and the wrath of God it is poured out on sin. We'd ask that You'd seal this message to the hearts of those who listen, that their time and their talent might be given without reservation to Thee. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.